Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
John chapter 3, verse 16. I just want to thank God for my salvation. In fact, 18 years ago, I was just a 16-year-old boy with no idea of what my life was going to hold. But because of the grace of God, because of the cross of Calvary, and because of this ministry of Victory Outreach, I'm able to stand here today, and I'm a grateful, grateful man. And I want to thank God for this church, for my leaders, for my pastors. And I'm believing for great things in our midst. The title of this message, if you like that type of thing, is called Mission Possible. Mission Possible. And in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want us to read that one more time. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father God, this morning we thank you. Above all else, we thank you for who you are, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are compassionate, merciful, forgiving, but you are just. And so, Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your divine, perfect plan for our lives. And we ask you to speak to us today. We thank you for the family we have around us. But, Lord, truly, we've come to hear from you, to hear your voice, to hear your plans, and to respond to you. So we ask you that our ears will be open, our hearts will be open to listen, to obey, and to respond. So we give you all the honor this morning, all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats. The reality of mission. Last week we heard Sister Vicky mention through her message about how our faith had gone underground. There was a season where our faith was going underground, that we were going through a season and a time where our faith was being stretched, was being built, was being expanded. How many people feel like they've been in that season where things have been taking place that have been challenging you, that have been stretching you? But you see, the thing about our faith going underground is the Bible says that there's a season for everything. So as your faith goes underground, the season that comes after that is a season where fruit is going to be born, where expansion is going to come. And I believe as Victory Outreach Manchester in this season, that yes, our faith has gone underground. Yes, we've been going through challenges and tests, but we are coming to a place and a time where God is expanding and building our vision and our capacity. The product of the season that we've just been through is a season of victory that's coming, a season of increased faith, a season of fruitfulness. But the things that you've prayed for are going to begin to come to pass. The things you're believing for are going to begin to come to pass. You see, when your faith goes underground, when your faith goes into a place where it might be dark and hard, there comes a point where what is underground becomes overground and people begin to see the blessing in your life. Psalms 1 says that we are like trees planted by the rivers of living water. And that what, when you've been planted, when you've been rooted, when you've been established, it says that there will be fruit that is born. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." I love that scripture because when you look at that word prepared, it literally speaks about a king that is about to go on a journey. And that word prepared was used when a king was about to go on a journey. They would send people ahead of the king that would begin to make their path straight. They'd clear obstacles. They would level roads. And they would make sure that that journey that you, the king was about to set on, would be as smooth and as ready as possible. The season that we've been in has been ready in the path. There is a journey that has been set before us, a mission that has been set before us, and the season that we've been through, God has been preparing you for what he has prepared for you. I want to say that again. God has been preparing you for what he has prepared for you. A year ago, if you'd been through what you've been through these past few months, you wouldn't be here today. But today you're here, standing, believing, trusting, praising, worshiping, knowing that a year ago it might have took you out. 3 years ago, you might have curled up in the corner of your room. You might have isolated yourself. But today, this season we've been through, that we're standing stronger, bolder, believing that God has not finished, but the best is in front of us. There's an old saying that says, the same sun that melts the wax is the same sun that hardens the clay. In other words, when you go through a season, when you go through a situation, it has the capacity to harden you or soften you. It has a capacity to build you or break you. But I thank God for Victory Outreach Manchester, for an atmosphere, for a culture. I thank God that when we go through situations, it doesn't need to harden us, but it can soften our hearts. It can strengthen our faith so that when you come out of the other end, you've not melted, but you're standing stronger than ever. We are in a season now where we are going to see the plan and purposes of God be fulfilled in our midst. So that's why we come to this subject, the reality of mission. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What has that got to do with mission? When you hear the word mission, maybe certain things spring to your mind. When you hear the word missionary, maybe it's a certain type of person that springs to your mind. Sometimes when we hear the word missionary or mission, we think about somebody that packs their bags, goes to another country and begins to preach the gospel. Maybe that's our idea of mission. Or maybe we think about someone that goes to a different place where people maybe haven't heard the gospel and they begin to set root in that place and begin to establish their lives there in order for the benefit of that place that they've gone on. Maybe when we think about mission or missionary, we think about mission trips where we go into different cities and begin to preach the gospel. Maybe people that go to different nations or cities and help build hospitals and wells and houses and these types of things. Maybe that's what we think when we hear missionary or mission. And if that's what you think, then you're right. That is a big part of what being a missionary is. But it's not the whole thing. We thank God for people that have decided by the call and the grace of God to pack their bags, to go to a different city, to go to a different nation and preach the gospel and build their lives. We thank God for people like that. Our church has been built with lives like that. The history of our church has been established with people like that. The Bible is littered with people like that. But being a missionary and having a mission-mindedness is so much bigger than that. I want to read to you two definitions this morning. The first one says this about definition of mission. It is the act of sending or the state of being sent. It is a person that is sent or delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business. So you see the word sent and you see the word authority. A second definition that says that with which a messenger or agent is charged, an errand, a business or duty on which one is sent. So we see again the word sent and the word authority. Even the Apostle Paul touches on this when he says that we are ambassadors of the living God. That wherever you go, you represent a different kingdom. You represent a different nation. You represent a different person. And so wherever we go, we are sent and we have authority. When you are an ambassador, you represent the nation to the people and you represent the people to the nation. And so today, when we are ambassadors of the living God, it means that you have been sent and commissioned by God to make a difference. But there's a quote that I read, a definition of mission, that completely changed my perspective on it. And it was by an author and a preacher called John Piper. And he literally described this. And when he described this, it began to paint a picture of mission that I'd never really thought about too tough before. And he literally says this, mission exists where worship doesn't. I want to say that again. Mission exists where worship doesn't. And what that literally means is that wherever you find a people, wherever you find a generation, wherever you find a culture, wherever you find a place where worship is not prevalent, you find the need for mission. Mission exists where worship doesn't. So when you go and you see a family that don't know God, there is a mission to be fulfilled. When you find a workplace that is more concerned with the things of the world than the things of God, there is a mission that needs to be fulfilled. When you find a generation that has been distracted and discouraged and disillusioned, you find the need for mission. Mission exists where worship doesn't. See, that's true mission. Mission is not just packing your bags and going to another country. Mission isn't just for the select few. Mission is when you find yourself in a place where people need to worship God. That is mission. You see, to fully understand what mission is, we need to look to a certain place. We need to look to a certain event. You see, we're privileged right here in this ministry and in the kingdom of God, because to understand some of mission, we get to look behind us, we get to look ahead of us, and we get to look around us. When we look behind us, we get to see what mission is through the scriptures. We see that mission was a reality of God reaching his creation. We see it with the life of Abraham. We see it with the life of Gideon. We see it with Esther. We see it with his people through the Bible, that there were people that were commissioned by God. We even see God himself. When Adam and Eve were separated from his presence, he came to find them in the garden. He came and found them. That's mission. When we get to look behind us in Victory Outreach, we see examples. We see footprints of what mission is. That 50 years ago, we were in East LA. 50 years ago, we were in one small part of Los Angeles. But then 50 years later, we stand here in Manchester, knowing that God can do something in our midst, in our city. That 50 years ago, it began in East LA. It began from a lineage of David Wilkerson and Nicky Cruz and Sonny Argonzoni. And it went from East LA through the whole of LA, through California. And then it went to Mexico, and it went to South America, and it went to Holland, and then it went to London, and it came to Manchester. And then all of a sudden it went to Cape Town, South Africa. And then all of a sudden you begin to see Ghana and Zimbabwe. You begin to see France and Italy. You begin to see Scotland and Wales. You begin to see it because there is a history and a vein of mission that has brought our ministry to where it is. That's why we celebrate 50 years. We're not really just jumping up and down saying, I'm Victory Outreach. We're saying God has been faithful to our ministry. God has been faithful to his people. And any time you get a chance to celebrate God's faithfulness, you celebrate it, because it stirs an atmosphere of faith. It stirs an atmosphere of expectancy. That's why when I see that video, yes, I want to be on it. Yes, I want to wave that thing that says registered. I'm going to go and find it and just walk by faith waving it around. But you know what? I celebrate it because it stirs an atmosphere that said, if I can celebrate someone else's breakthrough, if I can celebrate someone else's victory, then I know, and in a little bit of a selfish way, I know that I'm positioning myself for a breakthrough. I do want to know where it is, though. I wonder, where is it? Not only do we look behind us, but we get to look ahead of us. That you see, God didn't just save you just to see you could think about what you used to be. God saved you so that you could begin to praise God for what you're going to be, for what he's making you to be. It's not enough just to say, I used to be this. I thank God that I used to be that way and I'm not anymore. But the thing I thank God even more for is that I'm on a journey to become someone that he's created me to be. When we look ahead of us, what do we see? We just elected, or the city of Greater Manchester just elected a new mayor. Now, I'm not making comments on what I voted for, who I voted for, what I agree with. But sometimes I wonder if the mayor has a bigger vision for Greater Manchester than the church. We need to have a vision for our city, a vision for where God has placed us. When we look ahead of us, do we see more cities? Do we see more nations? Do we see more families, more cultures, more people groups? Do we see a UTC Europe? Do we see that? Do we see an East Manchester that's not just a satellite, but it's an established church? Do we see youth ministries in every church? Do we see these things? We get to look ahead of us and see that we have a part to play. And not only do we look behind us and ahead of us, but we get to look around us and we see the need on our very doorsteps. The need is clear to see. We have a team in the prison this morning. The need is clear to see. We have a team with the kids gang this morning. The need is clear to see. That's a mission field right there. To teach our children to worship God, it's a mission field. It's a minefield too, but it's a mission field. Because God wants to raise up them people. God wants to use their lives. When we look around us, do we see the injustice of our city, the injustice of our generation? But yet there is a need around us for the mission-minded. But if looking behind us, ahead of us, and around us isn't enough, where do we look to truly understand mission? We look to the one who first sent his son for you and I. Mission is in the very heart of God. Mission is in the very person of God's nature. That when you and I were disconnected from God, he didn't wait for us to come to him, but he came to us. He reached out to us. He sent his son for us. You see, mission is found in the nature of God. That when you and I were disconnected from God, he found a way to reach you. He found a way. If you remember the person that came and testified to you, if you remember that time when you wanted to give up, when you wanted to quit, when you thought that the job you had was all you had, and then all of a sudden, God sent someone into your life. God sent a messenger into your life. God was sending someone to you. I remember myself at just 15 years old in Scarborough, a little seaside town. I remember sitting on the walls day after day on rooftops, drinking, sitting in parks, drinking and bunking school and all of these things. But I remember in everything I was going through, I used to look up at 15 years old. I'd never heard the gospel. I'd never heard the name Jesus. I didn't walk into church knowing Jesus. I didn't know his name. But I remember looking up at times at 15 years old and thinking to myself, there's got to be someone out there. There's got to be someone there. I was like one of those Salford youths you would see outside McDonald's on the street corners. I was like one of those kids, but I would look and I would say, surely there's more to life than this. And I remember God didn't just leave me there. He took me from Scarborough all the way down to London just so that he could preach the gospel to me, so that someone could reach out to me. 17 years ago, 18 years ago, I was the mission. 18 years ago, I was the subject of God's mission, that he loved me and he cared for me and he reached out to me. But there's something wrong if 18 years later, I'm still the mission. I'm not the mission anymore. I'm the missionary. 18 years ago, I was the one whom God reached out to. But if 18 years later, you're still saying, Lord, feed me. People, feed me. Pray for me. Do this for me. But there comes a point where you go from being the mission to being the missionary. You go from being the one who needs reaching to the one who does the reaching. There has to come a point of transition in your life. You see, mission exists where worship doesn't. In the great story in Exodus, when God brought the people out of Egypt, it's symbolic of how God brought you and I out of a certain place in our lives. But in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, we see the very reason for which God brought them out of Egypt. We see the very reason for which God brought them out of their darkness and their place of suppression. They were literally slaves in Egypt. No rights economically, no rights socially, no rights spiritually. But yet there was a reason why God brought them out, not just so that God could get the glory, not just so that people could say that I used to be this way. But in Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, we see this. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. Let my people go so that they may worship me. God brought you out of your situation. God brought you out of your circumstance so that you could worship him. Another translation says, let my people go so that they may serve me. That God brought you out because he has a plan for your future. God brought you out because he has set destiny in front of you. And it's not just to say I used to be this, but it's to say that God is going to do something greater in my life. And there comes a point when God brings you out that your life is more about your future than it is your past. Your life is more about what he set before you than what it is that he put behind you. You see, mission is truly in the very person of God. And I love the story in Exodus chapter 3, because the question is this. How does God reach his people? When we see a generation, when we see a culture, when we see a people group, how does God reach them? And I want us to look at a couple of verses right here in Exodus chapter 3. And it says this, speaking about the same situation as he called Moses, he said this, and the Lord said, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, he says this, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down, this is God speaking, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. God came to Moses and he said, I have literally come down myself to bring my people out. I have come myself, he says. I have heard their cry, and I have come to bring my people out. I can imagine Moses was standing there, and he must have got his pom-poms out and said, that's my God, he's come down to do it. Give me a G, give me an O, give me a D. Give me a Y, give me an H, give me a W, give me an H. Yahweh, that's my God. That's my God. And I can imagine Moses was standing saying, yes, my people are going to set free. My people are going to get delivered. God's going to raise my people up. God's going to use my people. And he was standing back and he was boasting in his God. God said, I've come down personally. Look at what he says in verse 10 of chapter 3. After Moses is all excited, God says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. So all of a sudden, Moses is now the one in whom God is going to work through. If God is going to go into that situation, he's going to send one of his people. If God is going to bring change, he's going to send one of his vessels. If God is going to bring transformation, he's going to use one of his men and women. He is going to raise them up and he is going to anoint them and empower them and equip them to make a difference. Yes, God was telling the truth. I have come down. I am going in, but guess what? I'm going in through you. All of a sudden, Moses was a missionary. All of a sudden, Moses was called to make a difference. You see, God wanted to use him. And many times we look around us and we ask, when are things going to change? When's this going to happen? And God's saying, I've come down. I'm waiting to use you. I'm waiting to send you. I'm waiting to anoint you. I'm waiting to equip you. Just go and respond and you'll see that I've gone before you. You see, they weren't free to worship God. They weren't free to serve God, but God brought them out so that they could be free to worship him and serve him. You see, much of what we do in our life, much of what takes place in our ministry is best seen when it's in response to what God has already done in us. I want to give you an example. It doesn't mean that we just sit here and wait for God to do something. But when you read through the scriptures, you see that people's love, people's ministry was always in response to what God had first done in them. In 1 John 4:19, the Apostle John says, I love because he first loved me. But John understood that the parameters and the dimensions of his love was not measured by what he'd been through, but it was measured by how much he'd been loved. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, he says, I forgive because I have been forgiven. His forgiveness was based on the forgiveness he'd received. In Romans 15, verse 7, he says, I accept people because I've been accepted by God. And in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 and 9, he says, I give because of what first was given to me. But it was all based on what God had done in, and then that was brought through. And it's the same thing in our lives, that our love, our forgiveness, our acceptance cannot be based on what we used to, cannot be based on what we just been around before, but it has to be based on the love and the acceptance and the forgiveness with which we first have received from God. You see, our mission as a church in Manchester, Vicarage Manchester, it's not to be the richest church in Manchester. It's not to be the poorest either. It's not to be the most famous church in Manchester. It's not to be the biggest church in Manchester. Not to be the smallest either. But our mission as a church in Manchester, if I could be so bold as to say it, is that no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've been through, and no matter what your vision is, that in Vicarage Manchester, you can be all that God has called you to be. And you can do all that God has called you to do. That's our vision, is that when you walk through those doors, no matter your experiences, your fears, your dreams, your background, no matter the color of your skin, no matter the generation you were born in, no matter any of that, the vision is that this will be an atmosphere and an environment where you can be everything God has called you to be, and you can do everything God has called you to do. But you don't just get it by walking into the atmosphere. You have to tap into the atmosphere and begin to walk that same way. We see it, it's no different than what Jesus did with his disciples. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says this, "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach." I'll say it one more time. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. We see it in Jesus' life, that he brought the disciples close so he could teach them to be. And then he sent them out so that he could teach them to do. Being and doing go hand in hand, but one always comes out of the other. The doing comes out of the being. And Jesus is always concerned about who we are, how we interact with each other, how we love each other. You see, you can be everything God has called you to be, and you can do everything God has called you to do. And that is a mission mentality. See, we don't have to cross the world to live a missionary lifestyle. We just have to look in the place that God has placed us, the place that God has positioned us. If I could say it like this, there's no point in getting your passport stamped by Virgin if your heart hasn't been stamped by God. You can get 50 stamps on your passport, but the question is, God stamped your heart? Has God stamped your heart with a burden for a generation? Has God stamped our heart with a burden to see the gifts and the talents and the abilities that he's given us to begin to be used for our generation? And you don't have to wait for someone to present to you an opportunity. Code Red is a mission field. Code Red is a mission field. It's coming up. You're going to have the opportunity to go on mission and get involved in Code Red and see lives changed, lives transformed. The women's home filled up, so we have to get a second house and a third house. It's a mission field set in front of us. Kids Gang is a mission field. But we need our generation of young people to grow up to worship God and serve God and know God. I was 16 years old before I heard the name of Jesus. Our young children need it. Our prisons are a mission field. Greater Manchester is a mission field. Bury and Wigan and Stockport and Blackburn and Macclesfield and the other ones. That's a mission field. That's a mission field. The mission has been set before us. But sometimes we think that the mission field is just for the few, but it's not. It's for all those that represent God. You see, in the Bible, the word Christian is used 3 times. The word disciple is used 269 times. But yet we tell people we're a Christian, right? I'm a Christian. But really, what we are, we're disciples of Christ. That we are following and learning from him. We learn to follow him so that we can live like him. And that is what God has called us to. And I would hazard a guess this morning, from the conversations I have, from the things I read in scripture, from the experience that I've had, that actually walking in the call of God, stepping out and seeing God use you and our lives is not so much about clarity, but it's more about confidence. It's not so much about, God, what do you want me to do? It's more about, God, do I really believe you can do it? And when we step in and believe that God can do it, the clarity begins to come. But a lot of the time, the issue isn't, God, if only you would show me what to do. A lot of the time, the issue is, God, I don't believe you could do it through me. But yet, God can do it through each and every one of us. I remember, as I begin to, I'm going to start to wrap this up in a few moments. I remember an example in my life where I really began to realize what mission was. And I remember back in 2012, I believe. I think it was about September time in 2012. And we were going to be moving to LA for a year, my wife and myself and my daughter. We're going to be moving to LA for a year to go and live in the UTC. And we were going to be the staff there and we're going to be trained to, in the future, run it, hopefully one day when it came to Europe. And so we were ready to go into the UTC. We handed a notice in on our house. I remember we booked our visa appointment. We had conversations and we were ready. And it was like September, October time. We were going to be moving in January. And I remember we were ready to go over there. And I thought that was mission. I thought that was it. I thought I was breaking it open, man. I'm gonna nail this thing. And I remember getting a phone call one day in the office, and someone called me and they said to me, "How you doing?" All that good stuff. And I remember them saying, "Listen, we've got a little boy in your area, but doesn't have a family. And we wanted to know, but just like you did for your daughter, if you would take him in." And I remember looking at my wife, and it took me like 10 seconds to decide. Even though all of this stuff had been lined up, even though all of this stuff had been put in place, all that mattered to me was that I could first be a missionary on my doorstep. I could first be a missionary in my workplace. I could first be a missionary in my area. And so all of that stuff sounded good. Yeah, I was looking forward to getting like a really nice tan. I was looking forward to going on all that stuff. But you know what really mattered was that you made a difference where you were. And God began to stir our hearts. And I'll tell you something now, that wasn't an easy journey. My wife will tell you, for 10 straight weeks, this boy George would cry morning, afternoon, and night. And when I say cry, I mean he cried constantly. Morning, afternoon, and night. Someone gets a witness. Morning, afternoon, and night. But we kept loving him and serving him because he was our mission. He was our mission. He was our mission. And we kept loving him and serving him and praying over him morning, afternoon, and night for 10 weeks. And then one day, after 10 weeks, he just got up one morning with the biggest smile on his face. Because we just kept reaching him and loving him and serving him, being a missionary, having a mission heart, having a mission mindedness. It's not about how far you go. It's not about how far you travel. It's not about how many stamps you have on your passport. It's about taking what God has put in your life and using it to make a difference where he's put you. That's what it is to be a missionary. That's what it is to go on mission. It's to go where there's no worship and begin to worship and pray and be the light that God has placed in your life. Mission possible. That God has given you something, a burden, a vision, a word, a business, whatever it is, and that is your mission. And I want to finish with this scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We see a man by the name of David. And he had a mission. He was going to face Goliath. He was going to slay him. And he was going to go on to be the king. But yet there was something that stood in between David and the mission that God had called him to. And it wasn't Goliath. You see, the reality is that your enemy isn't your biggest obstacle. Goliath was never the thing that was going to stand between David and his calling and his mission. The enemy can roar. The enemy can make noise. The enemy can whisper. The enemy can do what he wants to do. But he's not going to be the reason why you don't fulfill your mission. He's defeated. Jesus defeated him in the wilderness. Jesus defeated him when he rejected him. He's defeated. He's not the reason why. His doubters and his haters and his skeptics for David were not the reason why he wasn't going to fulfill his mission. His father forgot him. His brothers asked him what he was doing fighting this battle. See, but they weren't the reason why. Your haters and your skeptics are not going to be the reason why. There was a reason why, and we see that could have stood between David and the mission that God had called him to. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38 and 39, it says this. So Saul clothed David with his armor. And he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. You see, the true obstacle between David and his mission was not Goliath. It wasn't his haters or his skeptics. It was the fact that there was a point where he could have fought his battle with someone else's anointing. He could have fought his battle with someone else's weaponry. But you see, God had a catapult and he had 5 stones waiting for David. He didn't want him to use Saul's sword. He didn't want him to use Saul's armor. He didn't want him to use Saul's way. But God had lined something up for David. This was David's mission. This was David's call. This was David's battle. And because it was his battle and his mission, God had prepared something for David to fight with. And the battle that many of you and I face sometimes is we're trying to fight our battle with someone else's anointing. We're trying to fight our battle with someone else's personality or someone else's gifting or someone else's style. But if God has called you to it, if God has put something on your heart, if God has given you a burden, if God has placed you somewhere, you can rest assured that God has equipped you, anointed you, and prepared you for the thing that he's set before you. Don't fight with someone else's weaponry. Don't use someone else's praise. Don't depend on someone else's testimony. God has anointed you. God has prepared you. So whatever he's placed in your heart this morning, I want to declare right here that he is preparing you and sending you and anointing you to make a difference wherever he's put you. Pastor Colin, he's giving you your own anointing. Sister Tash, he's giving you your anointing. Damien, Tanya, East Manchester, he's giving you your anointing. God is going to raise you guys up to take that city. There's businesses. God is going to raise you up. There's worship leaders. God is going to raise you up. But don't look at someone else and say, if only I had what they had. You see, that's what was going to stand between David. If he put on the armor and said, if only I had my own armor. If only I had this or that. But God said, I've lined something up for you, David. Take off that person's ways. Take off that person's opinion. Take off that person's style. And I've lined up a weapon for you. I've lined up something for you and I'm going to use you. If only, if only, if only. God will bring you to a place in your life where he is your only. And he'll get rid of your if onlys. He has prepared you. He has readied you. You didn't just go through what you went through. You didn't face what you faced. You didn't struggle with what you struggled with just so that you could say, "Woo, I came through it." No, 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 no. You've gone through it so you can say, my God was preparing me for breakthrough. My God was preparing me for victory. Get rid of your if onlys, because he is your only. Stand with me this morning. You see, sometimes we give too much attention to little things. An old proverb says, a lion doesn't turn his head when a little dog barks. You're a lion. You are called by God, anointed and equipped and readied. And I don't know this morning what God has been putting in your heart. I don't know. The Bible says that only God knows the depths of someone's heart. I don't know this morning the dreams and the visions that you look at and say, if only. But what I do know is that just like David, if you shed the opinions and you shed the experiences and you shed those things and you begin to march before your mission and your calling, then God has anointed you and prepared you for everything that he has set before you. And I want us just to take this moment and worship for a moment. And all across this place, I want us to take this next moment with our hands lifted and just begin to worship him. Just begin to create an atmosphere of worship and exaltation in this place.
To be glorified.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All across this place, Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning to stir and minister and confirm and reveal, Lord, this morning, in this atmosphere of faith, in this atmosphere of transformation, Lord, begin to minister to your people. Begin to speak to hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, be free this morning to move. As a worship team lead, I want you to come out from where you are. Step into the mission and the anointing and the call of God upon your life. So right where you are, if God's given you a burden, a vision, a sense right now, I want you to come by faith and begin to step into it. With worship, with praise, begin to step in to that river. Begin to step in to that place with worship and praise and declare him.
I don't wanna waste.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.